Okay, we'll get started. Alarm in this evening. We're fine. You finding warm in here? I'm sort of caught in attention this evening. Oh, we'll maybe take a seat. Let me go grab a blue seat and take it down. We've got a seat down here, then, really. I think you'll struggle. Come to the front. Anne-Marie, to the front. Come on. Come on. I can see you. Okay. Right, we're ready to start.
Yes.
Do you need a pen?
Okay, it's good to see everybody. We've got Paul Hoos tonight, eh? Good. I would like to keep it doing here. I think we're a little different up in the hall, the main hall. So, but please keep coming. Take your pals. But tonight I was in a bit of indecision because it's been a busy week, number one. There's been a lot going on. And I didn't want us to turn into it's just words. And I could have went for two big topics, which I think would be a good ooa, or just maybe hit one topic, keep it simple, and just ask for God to shine his light on this meaning. The last week, if you were here, which is 2 weeks ago, because final studies every second week, we spoke about the law. How the law was good, how the law was just, how the law was holy. But for us, it was ineffective because we are not powerful enough to fulfill the law. But we are not under law, we are under
grace.
And that verse, I think it was in chapter 6. Paul said, present yourself as an instrument to God unto righteousness. So we didn't present ourselves to righteousness, we present ourselves to God. And if you was here 2 weeks ago, if you mind, I hope you mind, because this must have been the highlight of your week. I serenaded yous. And the point of that illustration was, as we present ourselves to God as instruments, he changes the position of our lives in Christ. We were buried, we were raised again. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. He changes our standing, and plus he gives us the power. And at the end, we said, Faz playing the melody. It was me and the guitar. Mm-hmm. Without me, the vast, beautiful musician that I am, the guitar is just in the corner, could be like a piece of firewood. But in the musician's hands, there's a melody. And so we rounded it off by saying we present ourselves to God. In his hands, he works his melody in our hearts. And that Ezekiel promise that he would take out a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, but a new spirit within us that we would want to obey his commands. And that final verse we used is when Jesus spoke on, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And he wasn't just saying, if you love me, you'll defy your tilt. It was like, if you are in a love relationship with me, the fruit of that is you'll obey my commands. So this evening, I'm going to speak on marriage in just a second. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 7, reading from verse 1. To 6. But let's pray. Jesus, we ask for your light upon your truth. God, that the Holy Spirit that wrought the Word of God through your vehicles, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come the revelation truth. God, we come as children and just say, feed us, feed us, feed us. We need your light. We need your truth. We need your love. Christ, would you be glorified through your word so that we might know you better, so we might fall in love with King Jesus even more, that we'd listen to the tender heart of a good shepherd that would speak good things in our hearts this evening. God, help us now rest on the wisdom of man, but help us enter into some shape or some form of the wisdom of God. God, may this be a holy moment. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The first question, because I care this is deep truths, and we sort of have discussed a lot to do with justification, was the first few chapters, we're justified through faith in the finished work of Jesus. We're eternally saved because of what Christ done on the cross. And in the last few weeks, and I guess the next few weeks, it's Christ's work in our hearts. How do we live the Christian life in victory? How do we live the life that God wants us to live? Such sanctification, and then we'll finish off in the year 2035. The glorification, that moment of salvation when we'll see Jesus face to face. Question for you, the Christian life, is it simple or is it complicated? Is it simple or is it complicated? I think I can mark the Christian life very, very complicated. And I think if I'm going to try and do this morning, the night is keep it wonderful truths simple. And I think as simple you can get the Christian life, the better it's going to be for you. And I have made so much mistakes and got so much tangents, and whenever I feel as though it's getting complicated, I think it becomes a complete burden. Whenever I feel as though I can't do this, I can't work this out, it's getting too much, and that sort of thing. Is this what God wants for me? Is this the Christ life that it looks like when Jesus spoke about bearing burdens? And hearing rest, and coming to him, and learning from him, and he's a good shepherd. Is it supposed to be this complicated? Or in God's eyes, is following him and being in love with him, is it simple? Maybe the night I'm going to say something, you might think, well, that's too simple. It's got to be more than that. I was watching some theologians debate truths online. And I think theology is fantastic. Calvin once says you'll only ever be 90% right at the very best to do with your Christian doctrine. You've got your foundational truths that we all must agree on. Jesus was born of a virgin. He is God. He was spotless. He is the Saviour. He is the coming King. He was resurrected. I think we've all agree on that, is that right?
Yes.
But other things, different tribes, different denominations can get slightly different things. Infant baptism is a thing. And I was watching people debate that. If I find myself as agreeing with forever speaking. Because forever speaking is really forceful and they'll hear the scriptures and think, aye. Maybe we should baptise infants. The guy, the jailer that got saved, was baptised, him and his whole family, presuming there was kids there as well. And then somebody else would be like, no, but this is a scripture, they need to be of age. I think, well, okay, he's got the microphone, I find myself agreeing with him as well. The difference between the Assembly of God and Elam, historically, is to do with speaking in tongues. One denomination thinks that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence is you speak in tongues. The other denomination is that speaking in tongues is one of the evidences of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've got two denominations, that's the only real thing. What happened? And then separates. Did I ask me? For healing. I'm supposed to ken these things. It doesn't matter. You can only ever be 90% right, at the very best. There's a lot of things that we can mark complicated in the Christian life. So I want to keep this simple. And we're speaking this evening on marriage. We're speaking on law. Law, if you mind, for 2 weeks ago, was God's moral standard. That is right, that is holy, that is just. I'm going to ask the oracle, which is Margaret, if you've been here, to read Romans chapter 7, 1-6.
No longer bound to the law. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, don't you know that the law applies only to a person who is still living? Let me illustrate. When a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. So this is the point. The law no longer holds you in its power, because you died to its power when you died with Christ on the cross. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, you can produce good fruit, that is, good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produce sinful deeds, resulting in death. But now we have been released from the law, for we died with Christ, and we are no longer captive to its power. Now we can really serve God, not in the old way by obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way by the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Chapter 7, it starts off by saying, I'm speaking to them that know the law. They think the church in Rome was Jewish settlers that had went to celebrate Passover and celebrate Pentecost, and then the Holy Spirit came, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, went back to Rome, and Paul is writing to them as them that knew the law. So if you haven't been here, the law is us, God's standard. God's standard for living. That Ten Commandment, thou shalt not. But we have found in our journey that us and ourselves are powerless to keep the law. So in our own effort, we will strive. We want to be holy. We cannot be holy. We want to be perfect. We cannot be perfect. And if Paul is writing to here, he's saying he brings something that we can see on earth that is marriage. Marriage is a union. So he's saying, I'm writing to them that know the law. I've got to tell yous, you are in a marriage. What do we know about the law so far? The law is good. It's just. It's perfect. Imagine you're married to this type of person. Can it's not difficult for Isabel? Right? Perfect, holy. Paul says you were in a marriage, you were to the law. You were joined together to this husband that is good, that is just, that is holy, that is perfect, that is moral, excellent, outstanding. You just get a picture in your head of being married to somebody like us. We'll just call him Mr. Perfect. But because it's the law, it was the written law, it was not a person, it was called. C-O-L-D. And you have us on this side that are near that. Right? So we are Imperfect. That seems to be gone. Imperfect. You could just write the opposite of that, done whole there. Impure. And we in our or good intentions would try and please Mr. Perfect. Do you think you could? This guy's so good, he's so just, he's so holy, he's so perfect, he's a written law. He looks beautiful, he looks wonderful. You're so imperfect, you're unholy. This guy has got a standard. He will not budge. You ever watched MasterChef? They get a bunch of people that think they're good cooks. And if, sticking to the illustration, the wife us was to put together a slap of meal or mince and tatties, you think you've done a good job, didn't you? You've mashed them to bits, or fine and creamy, you pan some milk, you salt them well, and you make your best Bisto gravy, although Bisto gravy is getting rather expensive these days. Go to the own brand and you put it to the master chef, put it to the guy with the standard. If it's people the master chef do, they'll match it up against the Michelin star standard and you think you've dished up something good. If people the master chef say, undercooked, overcooked, not enough herbs, too much herbs, too creamy a tatties, too lumpy a tatties, because you've dished it up to the standard, the excellent standard. It says the law just condemns you because you can't reach it. Like you're in a relationship. Have you ever felt as though they just feel condemned? You can't reach God's standard and you're under this cloud. Maybe you've been set free for that. That's the aim of this evening. Hallelujah. But for years I would say I just could not be a good Christian. And I couldn't understand how it'd be. So you try and impress the husband. You go get yourself a haircut. And you think it's a real bonny hairdo. You've spent a fortune. Who might try for a woman's haircut these days? 40 quid. Should go to Boyer's. Well, 12 quid. So you think you're doing. You get your beautiful hair trimmed and then you go before your husband and it turns out he's Vidal Sassoon. And you thought he was looking amazing. And he said, it's too short, it's too dark, it's too light, it's too us. You're just near reaching the standard. You're in a marriage. There's nothing wrong with him. He's perfect. He's holy. He's just. You're just near that. So you go to the gym and you think, you'll lose weight. And you'll be doing on the rowing machine thinking, I'm really going to please my husband. And you'll be counting calories and doing Weight Watchers and thinking, once I get fit, I'll be pleased. And then you go home after doing your 6 months of a shred and couch to 5K. And it turns out he's Mr. Motivator. And you present yourself and he thinks, you're not trim enough. You get the picture? There's nothing wrong with him. He's good. He's holy. And Paul says, you were in a marriage. There was two years. You are unholy. You're impure. You're imperfect. And you are stuck. He says, I'm speaking to them that know the law. And because it's a union of marriage, so one of us had to die. So that we could not be married to another while we was in this union. So we couldn't just forget with our husband and just go marry something else or marry somebody else. And Paul says, no, it's only through death. So the question is, in the relationship, why does it say went through death? If we have a look at what verse is that, Sarah?
Verse 4,
you also have become dead to the law, to the body of Christ. If somebody else also looks up Galatians 3, 24-25.
Galatians 3:24-25.
I'll
read it.
Aye.
God's children through faith. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian and teacher to lead us until Christ came. So now through faith in Christ we are made right with God. But now that faith in Christ has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian.
So, aye, read that again, sorry.
The whole thing?
Aye.
Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian and teacher to lead us until Christ came. So now, through faith in Christ, we are made right with God. But now that faith in Christ has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian.
Good. Galatians says that the law was our guardian, our teacher, that leads us to Christ. What was the point of the first marriage? The point of the first marriage wasn't it just to condemn you. It was to lead you to a place of wanting Jesus. Wanting the reality of Jesus. It was to lead you to a place under its guardianship to say, I cannot do this. I need another. In fact, it says in Romans is this, that we died in Christ. Millions of Christians think that the law died. We spoke about it 2 weeks ago. So there's no law, so now we can do what we want. It doesn't say that the husband died. It says that the wife did. We did. We died. So Mr. Perfect, he survives. There's still a law. Is that right? The law of God still exists. The moral law of God still exists. But in Christ, we died, in Romans it says, in the flesh, so that we could now live to be joined to another. First there, another. So this is null and void. Far we join we?
Jesus.
So there's a new marriage. Do you believe that? There's a new marriage. This is to be celebrated. That in Christ we died to the power of condemnation, to the power of the law, to the power of Mr. Perfect, to the power of presenting ourselves and never feeling good enough, and then praying enough, and then fasting enough, not being devoted enough, not watching our behaviour enough. We died to that, and now we've got spiritual union with a new husband. First name is?
Jesus.
Christ and the church. It says under the old marriage, it says, that you could do was bad flute. And if you read the new marriage, that you bear fruit unto God, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. The simplest way I can describe the Christ life is that you are married to Christ in spirit. It's a love relationship with Jesus. And if we was to list the things on the Christ side, is Christ perfect? Is he holy?
Aye.
Is he just? So he's still perfect, holy, just. But this isn't the letter of the law. This is a person. This is God. This is grace. This is truth. This is somebody that scoops law to your level and helps you up. This is not you going for a haircut and trying to impress a taskmaster. This is you being scruffy and Jesus coming and saying, I still love you. I love you because I love you. God is love. He's not trying to love you. The psalmist wrote, I knitted you together in your mother's womb. Knows everything about us. He died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his very, very best, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, shall not be condemned, shall not go to lost eternity, but will be with him forever. Do you realise really how simple that is? Do you realise how quickly I can lose that and try and complicate it and try and mark it something that it's nae? And if I just keep before me the simplicity, I just love Jesus. And it says this, that the marriage, we intimacy with Jesus, verse 6 again, to this union and this union alone. Nae ifs, nae buts, nae maybes, will bear fruit unto God. Intimacy with the last husband, there was no fruit. There was bad fruit. Often in dealing with people and dealing with people, dealing with myself, I'm trying to change people's fruit from on the wrong tree. If you're still under the last system, and that's all you realise is the law, and I'm trying to keep God's standard, it's no benefit to you if I just come and say, you need to change. You need to do better. You need to cut that out because you're part of the wrong tree. There's another why. It's getting people into the new marriage for them to realise, hey, let's not just pick up with fruit. You need to see yourself in a new tree. Get your intimacy with the Lord. Let the flames of fire burn. And you will bear fruit to God. Paul uses a picture of marriage. God has designed that intimacy between a husband and a wife as God's idea, according to Genesis, to go forth and multiply. Go, multiply, populate the world. That's God's idea for humanity and populating the world are humans. Mm-hmm. God's idea in the spirit is that us, the body of Christ, would be married to a new husband, Jesus, and we would bear fruit in the kingdom. Fit is your job as a Christian in its absolute simplest form. Close. Before that, be married to Jesus. Love him and we'll spread the good news. If we just involve ourselves in mission, in doing, in working, you can do all that with a cold heart. For God says, see this new marriage. This is a new union. This is a love relationship. I don't want you to lose your first love. I want the church to be in love with Jesus through intimacy, through at times when you are walking and you are pondering and you are praying and you are wondering. That's your expression of marriage between you and Jesus. You will bear fruit in that intimacy, in that relationship. As you say your prayers and your thanksgiving, as you realize you are married to Jesus, mm-hmm. a new marriage, you will bear fruit. I was thinking of this there in Genesis. You had the two trees in Genesis chapter 2, 8 to 9. Genesis 2, 8 to 9. I read it.
Then the Lord planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he placed the man he had created. And the Lord God planted all sorts of trees in the garden, beautiful trees that produced delicious fruit. At the center of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, in the centre of the garden was a tree of life. Could they eat that?
Yes.
Yes, they could eat on a tree. If it was any said not to eat, oh.
The knowledge of good and evil.
Knowledge of good. Could they eat on a tree? See, a life was there that they could have partaken of. Only time you see life in the Word of God, it speaks of Jesus, the river of life. Mm-hmm. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. They could have partaken of the fruit of that tree. Could you imagine how that must have looked? But there was another tree, and God said, then I eat of the knowledge of good and evil. And they ate all that tree, however it came about, the serpent whispered in their ear, just do it and you'll know good and evil, you'll be like God. And they had a knowledge then of what was right and what was wrong, knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. I think that speaks to me of life under the law. Like just knowledge mm-hmm. of good and evil that brings condemnation. They then became aware, hold on, I'm not right with God, I need to hide for God. I've never felt like hiding for God before, I just didn't feel good enough. I didn't feel righteous enough, you didn't feel holy enough. And then God's got to come looking for you. You're under a bush, trying to hide. And all along it was just because we ate for the wrong tree. This tree for me represents the Jesus life. Partaking of the tree of life. Through intimacy in a marriage with Jesus, we will bear fruit. We will be fruitful. I was speaking at Calvary on Sunday night.
He was excellent.
Oh, thank you very much. Number one fan. We spoke on marriage. Jesus' first miracle was at a marriage. When he turned water into wine. A peculiar miracle. It was a foundational miracle. A peculiar miracle for Jesus, because if he was to burst onto the scene, raising Lazarus would have been a great way to burst onto the scene and become popular quick. Healing the lame, healing the blind would have been a great way to burst onto the scene and to get popular quick. The turning of water into wine at a marriage, did only get raised for the dead? No. Did anybody get healed of blindness?
No.
No. Did anybody that was crippled suddenly start walking? It was a peculiar miracle because it didn't really seem to help anybody apart from it made the party a bit better. But it was so prophetic that he was to do this at a marriage. And he was to turn water into wine. And it says the master tester, he says, take it to the master tester. Take it to the guy that Kinfrey was speaking about. And he said, when they tested it, he said, the master tester never knew for it Kinfrey, but he says, this is the best I have ever tested. I do not know why I'm drinking this, because usually folk take out the really good wine first, and then as the people at the marriage come a bit of more intoxicated and care less about the taste of things, they'll get the cheaper stuff out. But this wine was the very, very best. And it was prophetic, for his whole ministry was about bringing people into the kingdom, into this new marriage between God and man. Why did he raise Lazarus for the dead? It was so the followers could see that Jesus was alive, he was a Messiah, the kingdom was coming, the trumpet was being announced, the wedding feast is coming, it is here, the banquet is ready. It was to get people in to this new wedding celebration that was the best thing ever and full of flavour. Why did he open up the eyes of the blind? Not so people could just go out of lost eternity with sight. It was so people could say, wow, this is the Messiah. The kingdom of God is now. The banquet is ready. The new marriage has arrived. So that he could get followers into the new marriage, the new way, a new husband, a new relationship with God. So I'll land this hell topic before I go on in a few weeks. We'll speak about victory. That is at the very, how do you live the victorious Christian life? Be intimate with Jesus and you will bear fruit. Thank you for listening. That's it. What else is there? Apart from be in love with Jesus, you will bear fruit. If you're called to be a missionary, be in love with Jesus, you'll be a missionary. If you're called to singleness, be in love with Jesus, you'll be single, and you'll be single for Jesus, and you will bear fruit. If you're called to be a teacher, be in love with Jesus, you will bear fruit. Wherever you're at, you'll bear fruit. It's not a condition to circumstance, the family you're in, geographical location. Paul is saying you're in a new marriage. Hallelujah for the new marriage. It's full-bodied. It's fruitful. It's the best thing you'll ever test. You just fall in love with Jesus. Under the R system, you're married to a perfect husband that you cannot please. There was no fruit. Under the new system, spiritual union with Jesus. New husband, he stoops low. When you're downcast, he's a lifter of your head. When you're feeling low, when you're feeling ugly, he'll come, he'll wash you with his word. He'll wash your feet if it's feeling dusty. He'll clean you up. He paid the price to save you, forgive you, to set you free. He does everything. You just get to be in love with him. Mm-hmm. And through your union with him, you'll bear fruit. Oh, if I'd learned that 20 years ago, I'd have saved myself a lot of hassle, a lot of complications. But that's gone. It's not just a learning process. But for me, just to be, it almost sounds too simple. You would probably go for it. Is it really just that simple? Because there's so much questions, and there's so much different debates, there's so much different other things. You just love Jesus. And you will bear fruit. The greatest command, love the Lord. And love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus says that fulfills absolutely everything. People say, you can't hear a favourite scripture because it's our God's word, it's our God breathed. Jesus had a favourite scripture. He said, this is my two favourites. Love the Lord, love your neighbour as yourself. And everything else has said, that's a fulfillment of everything. If you just do that, you're doing the Christ life. Well, pray.
Yes.
Jesus, we thank you for your mystery revealed. Mm-hmm. And God, our prayer is just that your light, your truth-bearing light, would just be seared in our hearts. God, the least we can say is thank you that we are married to Jesus. Mm-hmm. That you have brought us through death into spiritual life. That on the cross we died with you. But as you rose again with victory, we rose with you into that spiritual love relationship. To eat for a new tree, the tree of life. To be joined to another. Not joined to a one that will bring us condemnation. But joined to Jesus. And God, we look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yet we pray that you would ignite fiery love in our hearts for Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, would you enable us to love Jesus? And we pray that the love of Christ would be passionate and would be fiery and powerful within the church of Jesus Christ. That you would cause us to be obedient, to be holy, to be pure, to be separate from things of the world. Not through the letter of the law, but through the power, the newness, and the Spirit of God within us. Help us, we pray, as we walk this journey day by day. We look forward to fruitfulness and we can only imagine what that looks like. But God, that we would nurture intimacy with our Lord and Saviour. That we'd step into your tender heart. We would get to know the whisper of Abba, Father. God, would you speak to us? God, would you guide us? God, would you save us from so much confusion? May you set our hearts ablaze. And as we pop the sails of the boat, we pray that your Holy Spirit would blow fresh breath upon your church. And we'd be leading and guided by Jesus Christ, our very special husband in the spirit realm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.